गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदा शिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् So we've been looking at the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Sri Krishna is enumerating many of his glories as Arjuna had requested. And also, in order to be more accessible to us and not overwhelming, he took the short version. He said the long version is anything, everything, whatever catches your eye, whatever catches your attention, that's his glory. Piece of dust on the floor that it just can manifest, that's his glory. But the thing is, eventually we have to see it in and through everything, but enumerate a few things that will catch our eye, our attention. He does this to help us to see this. It's because it's not an easy task to see the God in and through behind everything. So he gives a few examples for Arjuna, that Arjuna asked. So for Arjuna, of course, through Arjuna for all of us, because we're fortunate enough that we're able to hear these things too, like this. So enumerated many different things, and I think we got to verse 36 last time, we finished that one. So verse 37 today. Vrishni nam vasudevosmi. Vrishni nam vasudevosmi. Pandavanam dhananjayah. Pandavanam dhananjayah. Muni namapyaham vyasah. Muni namapyaham vyasah. I'm Krishna amongst the Vrishnis. I'm Arjuna among the Pandavas. I'm Vyasa among the sages. And I'm sage Shukra among the seers. So interestingly, there's in Uddhava Gita, where also Arjuna is teaching, Uddhava, instead of here teaching Arjuna, there Uddhava. He also enumerates a few things. There, for the Kavi, he says Vyasa. So somebody's going to say, hey, this Arjuna, why is he giving a different one? Isn't he, if he's manifest as this one here? And Kavi, at the greatest seer, here Kavi, it was something like Trikala Drashtaha, something like this is what they write in the commentaries. One who has a broad vision sees three periods of time, so has a very broad vision, seer, a rishi. Why? Here, this one, the Shukracharya, and there Vyasa. And then, again, because he's enumerating ways in order to see him through everything. You can take a different example. You don't know anything. If somebody comes from some different background, they don't know Vyasa, they don't know Shukracharya, they'll give something else, right? Because the essence here is not which glories, but to learn to see that through each thing, anything that is standing out, anything catches your eye, what's behind that, what is it, the essence behind is the God. That's what it's for, not for the specifics. So that's why there isn't any contradiction here like this. So this is the one important point here. But in any case, so amongst the Vrishnis, the Yadava clan, I am Vasudeva, I'm Shri Krishna, who is in front of you. So you can say, first of all, because he is the king, he is the one standing out there. You can say he's the avatara, you can say these things. But also you can say, right now there's a group of people here, right? You're with a group of people. Who stands out the most? From your perspective. Now, you can say, yes, we're talking and this is our leader. So this person I think is the most fantastic. But really, when you're with a group of people, then first of all, there's I. Without I, how can the others be there? Right? Without that first, the rest don't exist. In your world, you're the first one. That's why we say first person. In Sanskrit, it's put as last, uttama purusha, third, last, but also ultimate, because without this, the others don't exist, right? So this we can also say, if I'll say, okay, amongst all the people here, out of humility, I can say, yes, the head of our family, but he is the head of Yadava clan anyway. But in this way, so he's saying here, so I stand amongst these, it's Vasudeva. And so this way, yeah, so the first person, always that one, stands out. Without the others, they won't be there. And amongst Pandavas, I'm Dhananjayaha. I'm the one with the most prowess, the greatest warrior, Arjuna, like this. And also Arjuna stands out because Arjuna is learning the Gita. The others aren't learning Gita like this. So why did he teach Arjuna? There are many others. Is Shri Krishna biased? Right? Now, let's say this. In your family, probably not too many people studying Vedanta. Why are you studying Vedanta? You have the interest, right? Maybe you have, there are 10 people, you know, monks, or 5 people amongst brothers, sisters, cousins, and this. The others aren't. You have the interest. Arjuna came and asked Shri Krishna, please teach me. Right. So it's meaning also he's the prepared student. Prepared one is going to look into. Not prepared, then other things, there are other things to deal with. So we can say also this way he stands out. And also one other thing, this thing of first person, second person, it's not from the commentary. It's just bringing it in because we're in Vedanta class and these things stand out. Then amongst all the people in front of me, if I'm talking to somebody, that one I'm focusing. The God is also behind that one. Whoever I'm seeing in front of me, can I see the glory there? One time years back, Swami Ramsarupanandaji, one time when he stayed with us, so we went to the Shivananda Center in San Francisco and he gave some talks there. And one lady was there, she was resident in the center, meaning the residents, there are people that work outside, stay there, do some seva, come to the classes, everything, the ashram. So he asked, what do you do? Oh, I do some service in the center and I'm a masseuse. And she said, how do I do karma yoga? He said, very easy. Anybody you see, on their face, you see om. See, not as individuals, om, whoever you're serving, whatever. And she said for a long time that made a very big difference in how she dealt with things. So here, can I see the person in front of me? It's a conscious being. So conscious being, where does the consciousness come from? It's universal consciousness. It's the God in front of me. So he's talking to Arjuna. Now, Arjuna, amongst all the clan, you, of course, because I'm talking to you. Later I'll talk to you, Dhishthira. Then same thing, I'll say like this. So we can see it like that too. And ultimately in Vedanta, these are the things, the duality, me and not me, I have to see beyond. And one of the most important sections of a text in Vedantic literature discusses what's called, it's the foreword to the Brahma Sutra Bhashya, the commentary of Brahma Sutras by Adi Guru Shankara. It's called Adhyasa Bhashya. And there he takes up this thing, aham and tuam, I and you. Or you can say ahamidam, I and this, but I and you, because I and you, we feel we're separate entities, that these ideas are superimposed on the consciousness, like this. So if I can see in me and I can see in the person in front of me, in any living being, then, you know, then I'm seeing beyond the separation, the limitation. So that way, amongst the Pandavas, I'm Vasudeva. Amongst the Pandavas, I'm you, O Arjuna. And interestingly, he's not saying I. Amongst the Vrishnis, I. He says Vasudeva. So that Krishna is. So first of all, it's another, just like there are these people, there's this person too. Right? The Swami Ramatirtha. The book of his talks is called In the Woods of God Realization. And he says there's a woods, there are many trees, right? So many trees, so this is one of the trees, right? That's what we do in yoga asana, vriksha asana, the tree pose, because this is a tree, right? It's like a tree growing. Many trees around, just another tree. It's not different than the other ones. I see it from a different angle, but it's just, they're all just trees. Why this one? So he would always call himself in the third person. He'd say, Rama came yesterday, right? He would always say Rama, he wouldn't say I. So here, Shri Krishna, same thing. Amongst the Yadavas, it's Krishna. It's also, there's no ego I, and that I and something else, same thing. And also, that is in something I'm aware of. The individual, something I'm aware of. So is it me? No, it's not me. So that one, like this. So we can maybe say it like this. That's why he doesn't say I, but Krishna, because I'm with the universal consciousness. That is this, and this entity, this individual is Krishna. And then Muni Naam Api Aham Vyasaha, so I'm Vyasa amongst the Munis, amongst those who have Mananashila, who have very good understanding, very good retention. And so Vyasa, of course, because Vyasa actually is not the name, Vyasa is means the editor, he edited the Vedas. But what great understanding to edit something like this and make it available. People say, so much of the text was lost. But then say, how much is still around? How much exists? That's phenomenal, right? Phenomenal that it's there. And they say that he went, he edited, made it in four different parts, and then different families, I guess that would mean different lineages, would know one. It would take 12 years to totally know it. I guess to know it by heart that you know and have some understanding of it, like this. They have different ways the priests do it, right? That they chant it, and then they, after they know to chant, they have to chant in different ways, forwards, backwards, and steps, and this, so that way it's retained. That way it can be passed on, right? Because now you'll put it in computer memory, it's there. That's modern. Before it wasn't there. And the computer thing can go bad, but if 10 people know it perfectly, then they can pass it on. So what a great method to keep it like this. So he also passed it on like this. And then, of course, having the text itself for reading is said to be written by Vedavyasa. So like this, Badarayanam, like this. Or they called Badarayanam there, it's question whether him or not, but here they say it's Krishna Dvaipayana, name of Vyasa. But tremendous, wrote tremendous amount of texts, tremendous understanding, so that's why they say Vyasa. And Kavinam, amongst the great seers, then Ushana, Kavihi, not poets, but great seers here. And then Ushana is Shukracharya, very great seer. And he is also the guru for the Asuras. Right? So you can be very well learned and give advice, doesn't mean the other person listens to you. like this. Just because the asuras don't listen doesn't mean some must listen, but most, but it's, that's the whole idea. So this way, like we had earlier, Prahlada, right? Prahlada is amongst the demons, but very pure soul. So the environment doesn't necessarily mean what's internal like this. So same way here, it can be the guru of the guru there, but it's, you know, his maybe his karma to have these kinds of students compared to those kinds, we don't know, but also said to be very great sage. So let's see what else here. Dando dayamatamasmi. Dando dayamatamasmi. Nitirasmi jigishatam. Nitirasmi jigishatam. Maunam chevasmi guhyanam. Maunam chevasmi guhyanam. Jnanam jnanavatamaham. Jnanam jnanavatamaham. I am the rod of the punishers. I am diplomacy of those desirous of victory. I am silence among secrets, and I am the wisdom of the wise. So, right, dandaha, the monk, it means the rod, meaning the punishment, right? You try to, some, you're in charge, whether parent, whether you're boss, whatever, you're in charge, so you can request, you can explain, and then if those don't work, you can punish, and the punishment is the strongest, it'll fix people right away. People are deterred by the law. A lot of people aren't deterred because it's adharma. Oh, I can cut the corner and out there. They're deterred because they might get punished, right? So meaning that really makes a difference, the strongest one. So that also is coming from there. Oh, got a very severe sentence. Okay, that severe sentence, it's Ishwaras, right? Like somebody I know, years back, he was put in prison for something. We don't think he was guilty of this, but he just took it as, okay, that is my karma. That's it, right? So my karma meaning where it comes from. So when I get something, something comes to me like this, that's Ishwara. What a great thing to see. Amazing. We say, why me? Instead of why me, Ishwara. So even the harsh punishment, that's Ishwara's. Ishwara's giving me my prasad, what's needed, like this. There's one book by Papa Ramdas. Papa Ramdas, contemporary Swami Shivananji in South India, as an ashram on the border of Kerala and Karnataka. I visited there once, but successor was there. His disciple, Mother Krishna Bhai. Mother Krishna Bhai was there so many years, but I was there shortly after she had also left her body. So when he wrote his book about when he was Parivrajak, he said some sadhus were either on the train or trying to get on the train, something like this, and they don't have tickets or anything. They're sadhus, they don't have anything. And so the conductor is angry that they're these guys. They're not paying anything. They're just, you know, using the society. He was beating the one in the front. And so, like, he was saying, no, you move. Let me stand there so you didn't get hit. No, I'm getting my prasad. Why should I get my prasad? Danda. Whatever God gives, is, that's good. We can interpret many ways. Maybe it was meant other way, but we can see like this. Niti asmi jigishatam, those who are victorious. Niti, you go by the law. You can say justice or order. So actually, somebody who is a real kshatriya, yes, they do something for victory, but the means has to justify the end. Because they understand, otherwise it's not doing by dharma. If it's not by dharma, then it's not worth it. Because yes, in the short run, I will be successful, but in the long run, like somebody achieves something, inside they will know, they will always know inside that if they, you know, if they cheated in some way, didn't go by the rule in some way, yes, I got it, but I don't, you know, I don't really feel that I deserved. I kind of tricked and got there like this. Where the other person must feel clean. Yes, you know. So that how important that is. So of course, also on the on any scale like this in victory, then yes, then it was proper. Otherwise, how do you feel? You know, like this. Like I wonder, like very famous cyclist Neil Armstrong, right? Greatest ever. And then it came out, he, you know, not long ago that he said, yes, he did take some of these enhancement drugs. How he felt all these years. Like that. Better not to be the best and be pretty good in this, but you feel clean inside. Because when you feel clean inside, that's manifestation of Ishvara. Now Ishvara, because you feel clean, you feel whole. So then, but if not, then, you know, externally I can be, people could think I'm great, but internally there'll be the complex there. So how's Ishvara going to manifest then? So his glory is, yes, victory, but victory in this way. And the internal then the internal victory happens. The real victory is the internal one. The internal one that the ego has to be out of the way, and the ego is going to go all sorts of tricky things. We'll try all these tricky things to take over like this. So really, we have to keep an eye on it so much, you know. And when things, what happens when things, somebody does something that pokes it, then it shows me. Then I should be very happy. Great, my ego came up. Now I see what it is. Great, that person helped me, so I can learn to go further. Otherwise, if nobody pokes it, then how am I going to know? No, they don't know anything. Good. It poked, meaning there's some ego, there's something for me still to overcome, not to identify with. Like this. So nitihi. And maunam cha eva asmi guhyanam. What's the greatest secret? The greatest secret, maunam, silence. Because to keep your, to keep the secret, silence is needed. It's the best one. Because if you speak, then you might, as they say, spill the beans. Like, and also you speak not about that, just by speaking how you speak, slowly somebody can also pick up. Like, one thing I was curious about is how some of these mentalists, how they go and they figure things out. And I had the opportunity, fortunately, that at our workplace earlier this year, then what happened is they had somebody do this, but online, because we're mostly remote. And then I got, you know, I got to volunteer. And he said to think of a famous place, famous person or place. But he must have pushed it in that it'll come to a place, no problem, because they know how to kind of trick you that you'll think in one direction compared to the other. Think of a place, anything, and just think of it. Make sure it has a Wikipedia page, go check it. He can't see what's on my browser because, you know, he's there. We're all the Zoom. Mm-hmm. And so I think, so in my mind, I think Taj Mahal, famous place, okay, done. He doesn't know, you know, if I have any connection to India or anything, would have no idea. There's no way for him to know. No problem. And he starts asking some questions and some letter that's in the middle, things like this, and talking. And slowly, slowly, then he, you know, he figures out what it is. So the thing is, had I just been poker face silence, there's no way he could have done it. But by asking some question, picking up on cues, slowly, slowly, probably in his mind, he knows there must be 200 places you're going to think of, or whatever, and from that you can deduce, slowly, slowly deduce. So it is an amazing skill, for sure. Magic, no, but it's an amazing skill, there's no doubt. But the thing is, mauna, silence, and silence also, I can be making faces. Just silence, then there's no way. Silence, there's no way to get to it. Now, the silence, of course, there's the mauna that I keep silent, but that's just at the, you know, lips. Then, of course, there's the physical, being still. Yoga asana is silence of the body. That's easiest. Silence of speech, subtler. Then silence of mind, more subtle. If you're in silence, that's why asanas, you're still, the mind becomes more quiet, more still. You practice mauna, not speaking, so much energy, so much thought process goes into the communication, how and what to say, that slowly, slowly, within a few days, the mind becomes very peaceful and quiet. But these, again, are in the upadhi. The ultimate silence is that which is behind these. Because the atma is silent, pure silence. So, in this way, we have to see beyond them, see what is the silence beyond these ones. and that's not changed. Of course, a too much of an agitated, disturbed upadhi mind, we can't see, so it has to be relatively, it has to be peaceful, relatively balanced, otherwise it's not possible. But it's beyond these, like this. This is really what is the ultimate silence. So that's why it's like a secret. There used to be a bookstore, maybe it's still there, I don't know, in Marin County, which is called Open Secret. So the universal consciousness, universal presence, Brahman, is open secret. It's no, it's there, but who sees it? Secret, because not prepared to access it, the lack of understanding or preparation. And then from this, the jnanam comes. From jnanam, jnanavatamaham, the moment there's knowledge, the knowledge itself, that's always say Ma Sarasvati, goddess of knowledge. And knowledge of in any field, the moment it's there, where is the source of that knowledge? The source of knowledge is the universal knowledge, the knowingness. Without that, how could it be there? So the moment something is known, yes. And that's one of the things, as the ego will hold on to the most, I can do this, I know that, right? I know that. So I know, look, I know this. So understand the moment there's knowing. Did I make the mind there? No. Did I create the instrument? Did I create the way it can function, the way it can retain things, the way it can analyze things? No. So it's kind of like somebody has a fancy car or a fancy cell phone. Oh, I'm so great. Well, did you bake it? No, you just somehow got it. You'll have it. You'll use it for some time. So I have this mind that really understands. Did I make it? No. As some instrument, somehow it came for some time. Whose is it? The great, the amazing engineers that created this thing. So, manifestation Ishvara, this ability to know, just that ability. Amazing. Look at that. And look how humans, how much more we can know compared to other animals, which work more by instinct. It's an amazing thing, right? So what is behind, what is the knowingness is that? What is? So any knowledge is like a wave within the knowingness, which really what it's really the glory of the chit, of which is Ishvara. Yashchapi sarva bhutanam, yachapi sarva bhutanam, bijam tadaham arjuna, bijam tadaham arjuna, na tadasti vinayat syat, na tadasti vinayat syat, maya bhutam characharam, maya bhutam characharam. O Arjuna, I'm that which is seed of all beings. There is no such being moving, stationary, moving or stationary, which can exist without me. So it goes to the root, and when the whole list started, he said, Aham atma gudakesha sarvabhuta shayastitaha. I'm the consciousness in all beings. So when he started the whole list, he said, I'm chit sarupa, I'm the consciousness element. And here says, I am the seed of everything, meaning the cause. Upadana karanam, we say the material cause of everything, meaning that I'm the sat. So he started and ended with what is the glory of the nirguna brahma, this one, if you remember we said there was para prakriti, apara prakriti, or the para, the higher one is the universal, the nirguna, the brahman, Nirguna Brahman and Saguna Brahman, the whole manifest world, the lower Prakriti. So, beginning and ending with what is the glory of the Parabrahma, like this, Satchit, in this way. So, Bijam of everything. Nothing can exist there, whether sentient, insentient, Characharam, moving, unmoving, meaning sentient, insentient, without this cause, like this. So going to the root of it, everything is there because of me. Now what happens is, so many religions will say, yes, the God is the creator. God created the world. Not a problem like this. So everything has come from that. So that's totally fine. But then they leave it at that. They don't look into it further. One reason it's not looked into further is if you start looking into it further, you're going to start finding holes in the contradictions in the theology, which the theologian won't like. That's one thing. And maybe the theologian himself hasn't looked into it. Maybe they do know, but it's just not the religion of the masses. Because people, they want to feel there's something greater, feel supported, and they don't want to just go and think deeper. Just some support so I can continue with my life. So that's okay. It works nicely. But it doesn't take you to the bottom of the things. So then you'll say, okay, the God created the world. Yes, yes. So before the world existed, came into being, there was only the God. Yes, yes. Okay, that far they'll go. Then how did the God create the world? Oh, we can't ask those types of questions. The God can do anything. Leave it at that. Oh, I belong to this faith. Right? That's why Vedanta, some Shraddha, conviction, faith, helpful, but it's not the end of it. You have to inquire. If you don't inquire, then it'll stay as, you know, some idea there. So in this way. So the issue is, where did everything come from then? So here he's saying, bijam, the seed, meaning the material cause of everything. So everything has come from that. So maybe even theologians say, yes, yes, so God, so everything came from that. Now there's an issue, now that brings up some things. Okay, if everything was created from the God is the material cause. Now what happens is the cause is going to be within the effect, right? You go to the jeweler, you know, you buy some gold somewhere, you go to the jeweler, you go back and they made your jewelry set. Oh, great, thank you, I'll take the jewelry, it's very pretty, but I want my gold, where'd my gold go? Oh, here, weigh it, look, you gave me, 200 grams, 300 grams gold? It's the same weight, you see, it's that. No, but I want the gold too, give me back my gold. That is the gold, what do you mean? No, this is jewelry, I'll pay for jewelry, I want my gold back too. They'll say, they'll melt it down, give it back to you, say, okay, you can find another shop. Where I'm not, you can't do business with us anymore. So then, if everything came from the God and it was only the God before, then this is the God manifest. Otherwise, so that's what he's saying, the whole thing is I am manifest as everything. Everything then is my glory like this. Oh, very interesting. Some other corollaries will come up from this. Then people will say, okay, first of all, they want the form of God. What is the form of God? Right, in some religions, like where I came from, then there they won't give any form, which is a nice idea because formless. But some places like Hinduism, there are many forms. That's very good, you can choose what you like. But then they'll argue, no, this is the form. This is the form. The God is, yeah, the other ones he can come in that form, but this is the form. This is the one. The other ones are, he sometimes likes to play and appear otherwise, but this way. But then before creation, how can there be any form? You need the creation for the form. So how could that form be there without the creation? No, but I want the real darshan of God. I really want to see. So the issue with people want the darshan, to see, perceive the God, is it's kind of like, again, with the jewelry. I want to see the gold. What do you mean, see the gold here? Don't you see it's a gold necklace? No, it's a necklace, but I want to see the gold. You melt it down into a blob. No, I see a blob. I see I see something like this. But I want to see the gold. You can never just see the gold. You'll see some form of the gold. The gold in a certain form. You'll never just see gold. The moment you see it, there's some form. So I want to just see the God. So the issue here is the misunderstanding like that. So this is what happens. And actually, there's an interesting thing to discuss with this. Vijayaji used to like to bring this up a lot. Is the issue is usually, in, you know, you first understand something, then you go and perceive it. You hear about something, oh, this beautiful place in Mexico, oh, this nice place, Eastern Europe is a very nice place to visit. You hear about them. You know about that, you hear about. But then you go, you see it, and when you see it, now I'm seeing it, now as I see it, I get introduced to it. I walk around, tour guide shows me, or I see what it is I see, and then I get to know it, right? So first there is, I see, and then I understand. I see something like this. So there is the seeing, and then comes the understanding. I see something interesting, and I... So what happens, so first, first you get introduced to, and then you know like this. Now what happens is some things you first know and then you're introduced, because here I'm introduced to and then I know. Now what happens is, the example we give is, you go some get together and somebody's there, you know, they say there's the some very important person, right? Somebody's there, the you didn't know, this is the example we give, some prime minister of some country there, right? What happens, you don't know, you're going, you're chatting with people. So you already see this person there. You're chatting with somebody, chatting very nice, they're very nice, you know, you like, you discuss some things with them. Then that they say, okay, now our special guest will give a talk, and it's that person. So you didn't know this person was the prime minister of this small country, whatever it is. You didn't know. You're just talking to them. So you already knew, but now you're getting introduced. You know the person, you talk to them, and now you're getting introduced to the details, like this. So what happens is, yes, I heard of the God I know, but the thing is, I didn't know that the whole time what's in front of me is that. That person was there for that half hour, you chatted and whatever and this, but you didn't know who that person was. Now the introduction comes. So first, usually first introduction, then you know more. Here first you know, and then the introduction, because it wasn't clear, I didn't know what it was. So people hear about the God in this, but they're not introduced. Yes, the God created. Okay, so the God manifests everything, very good, well, the God is in and through everything. So it's a matter of understanding. And actually, the God being creator is an inference that people have. People see the world, they infer the God. And then they stay with some inference or faith. Where Vedanta is saying, no, it has to be an understanding. You have to know. Otherwise, it just stays as such. So you know that this is that. Just a faith in or some inference won't have that same strength of knowledge. You know something, there's no question about it, that there's the one that has everything. And then what happens is, it's said like this, by seeing, if you see the wave, the water in the wave, there's water in the wave, you understand the wave is the glory of the water, right? Because what the water is, its nature, its power, everything, in the wave. So it's in the wave. So that's the vibhuti of water, the glory of water. But then when you say all the waves are in the water, it's a different thing, not the water is in the wave, all the waves are in the water. Water is something much grander and everything. Wave is just something that manifests within the water. So now this is seeing the water is all pervasive. Because there you're just seeing it, okay, there's the wave. Yeah, the water is behind it. There's a bigger wave, there's a whirlpool, there's this kind of... So you're seeing, the focus is on the vibhuti, on the external form, and saying, yes, this thing is behind it. But then, you see, is the all-pervading, when you say all these are within the water. Water is something much more expansive, not limited to that. So here also, this is the vibhuti yoga, discussed. All these things are my manifestation, my glory. But that's... one stepping stone, I see the vibhutis. Yes, the God is manifesting these things. But then I take the whole thing as within the God. The whole world is within the God like this, which he will be bringing up now in next verse. The whole thing within the God, meaning now the focus is different. There's the God and these things are just manifest within. Then it's the Vishwarupa. The whole thing is just, this whole form is just of the God, like this. So first seeing the God is peeking through these things, manifest through, then seeing the whole thing is just within the God itself, like this. And that's why it goes to Vishwarupa Darshanam in the next chapter. From seeing the Vibhutis, you're going to the essential one. So let's see how it continues with that. Nantosti mama divyanam. Nantosti mama divyanam. Vibhutinam parantapa. Vibhutinam parantapa. Esha tu tesha taf proktaha. Esha tu tesha taf proktaha. Vibhuter vistaro maya. Vibhuter vistaro maya. O Arjuna, there is no limit to my divine glories. However, this detail of glories has been mentioned by me only as an illustration. So important thing. This is an illustration, meaning just to get an idea, just some sample. It's not the whole thing. People take the illustration and take that's how it is. That's what they take. This is the form of the God, not the other ones. This is the Holy Scripture, not the other ones, right? The world was created in 7 days, that's it. It was written, it's in the Bible, that's it. And that went to the famous trial, I don't remember the name, there's a play about it too, the person who was who started teaching evolution in schools. And the monkey trial, I think it was called, something like this. And it's very famous, and it's based on, I think it's based on true story here, that what happened was then the religious people or Christians, somebody took them to court. Hey, what's this supposed to be? How did we come from monkeys? Why this? So everything he was bringing up in the court was right away, you know, they was right away brought up. They would say, no, you can't ask him this. No, you can't. All these things. So finally, he took the prosecutor and put him on the stand and asked him, can I just ask you about the Bible? Yes, that's okay. Because he's expert in the Bible. So the God created in 7 days, yes. He said, well, at that time there was no sun or earth, correct. So what was a day? How do you know how much time was in the day? Would a day been 24 hours? Could it have been longer? Yes, it could have been longer. Mm-hmm. So that's it. On that he caught him. Evolution then could happen because it's not necessarily seven. That 7 days is not the days we think now, so finished. So then they got thrown out like this. So they take literally the 7 days. What do you mean? So the illustration is taken. That's just one example. You can take all the religious stories like this and we take them and we hold on where it's an illustration. What it's pointed out to, like so many times say, Vishnu, meaning all pervasive. No, no, this is the form. This is the Vishnu. No, 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 that's not form of Vishnu. That's a later form. This is the real one. Shri Krishna is a real one. Vishnu is just his manifestation. Where does it end? So the illustration's there to point at something, but you get caught up in the illustration. And then so saying, remember, all these nice examples they gave, they're examples to illustrate. That's it, because not to start quoting, this is what Shri Krishna said, you said a little differently or different example, that's not right. In this way. So this is what he's saying, don't forget, these are just some examples to help to understand, to help as pointers, not as the end in itself. So that's the important thing. The Buddha is said to have had one sermon, one of his sermons that he came and he just, I don't remember the exact what it was, but you know, pointing at something. And his main thing was, he's pointing, like pointing to the moon. And his point was, are you looking at my finger or are you looking where my finger is pointing to? In this way. So the text is saying something. What is it saying? Is what is it pointing to, not what, or the exact, you know, phrase that it uses, the example that it uses. Then I stay with that. To see what it points to. So the words, actually, whole thing was Shravanam. is, when we start, especially when we go into more of the subtler points of Vedanta, the words are pointing to something. So a word has its meaning, sentence has its meaning, but what is it pointing to? That's the important thing. Because they'll say, Tattvamasi, yes, this is from Upanishad, yes, it's very holy, yes, you know, I can write a whole book on Tat and a whole treatise on Tvam in this, but what is it pointing to? It's pointing to, that's the important thing. If I don't see what it's pointing to, then it'll stay as a batch of nice intellectual knowledge, but then what is it? Like this. So this is the important thing. So that's what he's saying. Let's continue here. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam. Shri madurjita mevava. Shri madurjita mevava. Tattadevavagacchatvam. Tattadevavagacchatvam. Mamate jomsha sambhavam. Mamate jomsha sambhavam. Whatever being is there which is glorious, rich, full of abundant, or powerful, may you recognize that to be born out of a portion of my splendor. So whatever is there, yes, this comes from me, but one small part, right? From some small part of it. So many places it says of this, first of all, it says how the whole world is born from this, but also says how it's just from some small part, because the God fully became the world, now the God is some limited thing, some changing thing. So like in Garnapati Shirsha Upanishad, like this, I can give example because something that I know, says, Sarvan Jagadidam Tvato Jayate, right, everything comes from that. Sarvam Jagadidam Tvattas Tishtati, and everything exists in that one. And Sarvam Jagadidam Tvai Layameshyati, and everything, when it resolves, goes back to that. It's like the wave comes out of water, exists in the water, goes back. So this is one thing it says, look, yes, everything comes from the God, exists and goes back. But then it also says, how is it? Tvam avastatrayati taha, tvam dehatrayati taha, tvam kalatrayati taha. All of these triplicates in the world of waking, dream, deep sleep, of gross, subtle, causal body, avastatraya, dehatraya, all these triplicates, you are beyond them. So with the imminent, in and through everything, but yet transcendent, not limited by. This is the thing. So there's something even more, because one small part is holding this. One small part. The whole world is, like Shri Krishna lifts the mountain on the finger, showing one small part upholds the whole world. The rest doesn't have to do anything. Like this. So this is what's being pointed out. Now what happens is, okay, so this one small thing supports the whole world like this. To show it's not limited by that, right? Because if everything would be here, then that's the whole thing. So, really speaking, it's not. You know, really speaking, so this is again illustration, because the whole thing upheld, you know, the ornament set is manifestation gold, but gold is something so much more vast. It's just like a tiny thing within that whole thing. So. You see the God in and through things, to see that it's such something much more expansive, not limited by this little bit. Okay. So something so much more. So not to see that. Now what happens is, so as an individual, my experience, I experience things. So first of all, the I'm in and through the experiences. This is the same thing we said before, the vibhuti compared to then the Vishwarupa, the totality, being that the whole thing is just a form of that, of the God. So as the individual then, all my experiences, they go in my mind. I need the antakarana, right? I see you, meaning it's within my mind or within my consciousness. Without that, I wouldn't experience it. I hear something, I think something, right? I feel something, meaning as the awareful being, it's the awareful being is in and through that. So I have a certain range in my mind, everything's in there. So all of that, I'm in and through that. But that's just one part. You know, one part here, one small part is there, so much more is beyond that. Take all the experiences, there's one thing, and then what am I? Something so much more beyond that, not limited by any of these things. I'm immanent in and through all my experiences, but I'm transcendent, not limited by them. Where's my beginning and end? Right? Deep sleep, you drop the experiences. Where's the beginning and end? So that's why, interestingly, we start with, right, waking, dream, deep sleep, and turiyam. So we start with one pada, one fourth is the consciousness. The other three are seemingly, oh, it's one of the four, but really this is a small part where what I am behind that is so much more vast. You know, all experience is one small thing, but you get caught up in them and then it seems like everything. But then a few moments later that went down, it's some small thing. What am I is still so much more greater. So I'm used to just seeing as an experiencer, I'm something with a batch of going through a batch of experiences. So how am I going to go beyond this? So first I see that I'm in and through each experience. I'm in and through every part of the experience. I'm in and through it. And then I see, and no matter what experience it is, still part of me is beyond it. And that part you can't measure. Aparameyam, immeasurable. So what is it then? Some small thing within all my experience, within me, some small thing, and I take myself as this limited thing. So with the Gachu, the Brahman, yes, as apara prakriti, the lower nature, it manifested everything like this. The whole world is that manifestation, but what it is so much more beyond whatever manifests, the sat, the existence itself, is there's no limitation to it. So there's one small part. Now, of course, people will start saying, okay, one pada, he says one pada in certain places in the world, pada o sevishwa bhutani tripadas, mritam divim, some word exactly missing there. If you chant the whole thing through, it goes. If you try to go in the middle of chanting, you don't know how to get into it. That's what happens with these things from Purusha Suktam. So there, yes, this whole world is one pada. Pada is a part or a quarter, so here a quarter. So three padas are the amrita, the beyond. So now somebody will start saying, yes, there's four parts, satchidananda, three parts, and then the world is one part. You can start illustrations, but get caught up in illustrations, meaning this whole thing, one small, what it is not limited by this. One small, it seems like one small thing to help me look beyond it. And then I can see this whole thing is manifestation of that. And the whole thing itself, what it is way beyond it. So I see in and, you know, see through the world that it's what I'm really looking for, what is really the essence is beyond it. That's the main thing there. So I said, that's why this whole thing, just one small part of mine I'm holding up. And of course it is illustration, because then you'll say, which part is it, which finger did Sri Krishna use to hold up the, they're probably, I bet you, that there are big arguments by different scholars which finger he used. They'll say the pointer. No, he's so strong, it must be the pinky, because, you know, he says, there must be. I'm assuming. Maybe there aren't, but of other silly things like this, there are surely arguments like that. So, the illustration. So it's illustration, the whole thing, because the God is partless, the moment you say by this part or that part, now the God has part, meaning change, meaning then it's not like this. So in this way, so whatever is there, you see it, but here, any vibhuti, any glory, any abundance of any kind, right? Any power of any kind, anything you see, it stands out. Remember that one is coming from me, but just one small part of me, one small thing, not everything. Like somebody is very, you know, a great virtuoso in some art, you see something of theirs, amazing. Yeah, that's one thing. This person, she's made hundreds of these, like this. One person, very generous, wow, they did this great service. Yeah, that's, but they've done so much more. So in this way, to see how much they're greater. So anything you see, slowly to make it point to the Ishvara, not to the world, like this. This is the thing. One Mahatma that he wrote commentary on this, he says, what happens is, we're extroverts. We see through things through the senses. So since I see through the senses, then I give a lot of reality to what is through the senses and not the God behind it. So this is to help to see beyond that. That I, the moment I get caught, my eyes get caught in something, my ears. Wow, amazing singer. Then it'll go to, yes, and that is the Ishvara singing through them. Right? Oh, beautiful view. Yes, what is behind that? And that I can see the view, the Ishvara is behind that. Right? Wow, great idea I have. Yes, it's a very good thing. We should do it. Yeah, but where was behind it? Ishvara, the power behind the knowledge. Ishvara, the power behind the ability to do it. The Ishvara is behind it. So that I don't get caught just in that level of the senses, but helps me to see beyond it, like this. So this is what this one commentary says on it. Very interesting. Then continues here. Atava bahute bahunaite naha. Atava bahunaite naha. Kim gyate natavarjuna. Kim gyate natavarjuna. Vishtapyahamidam kritsnam. Vishtapyahamidam kritsnam. Ekamshe nastito jagat. Ekamshe nastito jagat. Or of what use do you have by knowing all these, O Arjuna? I remain supporting this entire universe with a portion of mine. I jumped the gun, previous verse, saying each glory is just one tiny part of, infinitesimal part of my manifestation. Here the whole world is this. But what to do? Like this, the whole creation is just like this, just supported by that, okay? And what happens is, one of the things like this, again, going back to this point of through the senses, I see something, I hear something, I hear, I really like it. Now I really want to hear more of that. And somebody else is playing some other music or some other noise coming from somewhere, I don't like that, right? Now what happens, I'm caught up in my raga dvesha. Yes, this music, it's the classical music, it takes so much training, it uplifts the mind, that it comes from rishis and everything. But that rock music they're playing there, oh, that's just headache thing. Now, that I don't see Ishvara on that, meaning I don't like that, but I like this. Now I'm caught up in my raga dvesha, where I'll say, yes, this one, the Ishvara is behind. All sounds come from Om, it's Om. That music there, which maybe I'll say that's noise, yes, that noise, it's also coming from Ishvara. So to help me to see beyond go beyond my raga dvesha, like this. So this is really helps, because I'll raga dvesha, I like this, I don't like that, in this way. So in this way with anything, then I see it's the Ishvara behind, then it helps me to go beyond this. More equal vision, more peace of mind, easier for me to, first of all, just to live my life peacefully, which is in the end what we want, and also to see beyond. To more than live peacefully is to, you know, see beyond just these limited ideas. So this is also where this is very important. And my raga dvesha also will happen in a way that I'll see somebody else, well, this person is very successful in something. Now, I'm jealous because I wasn't so successful like that, right? Oh, and they may, you know, oh, because they had a better, you know, starting point than me, I'll start doing these things. Oh, you know, whatever I'll do because I'm jealous in this. Well, that's Ishvara's manifestation. What I do is Ishvara's manifestation. What difference does it make? The two waves, one is going to see the big wave and I'm the smaller wave. Oh, wow, I wish I was a big, strong wave like that. Where in the end, I'll say, oh, that's water, I'm water, then what's the fuss? So this is one of the important things that it shows here. And of course, after explaining this, yes, each thing, anything you see that stands out, that's Ishvara's manifestation. And Ishvara is in it, supporting the whole world in and through and beyond it. So then Arjuna, of course, is going to be curious. Well, very nice. So I understand this is, I can see these as your manifestation. And you're something way and beyond these. How do I want to then see you? I want to have the vision of not just intellectual understanding and some pointers. I want to see what are you pointing to? What is that essence? I want that. So that's why from here, Arjuna is going to request that, the coming attractions. I want to see it directly. I don't want paroksha jnanam, I want aparoksha jnanam, right? This is paroksha jnanam. This is the wave, the water's behind it. This is the world, the God is behind it. So I want to see it directly. Can you show that to me? I want that. So this is what is going to happen now that he knows the Vibhuti wants to see Vishwarupa. What is really see the God behind everything? So that's what he'll be discussing when we start the next chapter soon. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gitasu Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Vibhuti Yoga Nama Dashamodhyayah. So this is the 10th chapter. It's completed. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Oh, I thought I spotlit it. I didn't spotlit. I pinned. Sorry. The Vibhuti of Ishvara is also, you know, our skill and our lack of skill is also as Vibhuti. What to do? Like this. I thought I was spotlit it, but pinned just pins for me like this. Very good. So then.